The pastor and the people. What is the proper relationship between the pastor and the people? Both the pastor toward the people and the people toward the pastor. What does Holy Scripture have to say about it? Often what happens is there are some common sins that often rise up in relation to this question about the pastor and the people, but also in reference to any sin, any and every sin. And here are some of the most common foundational sins, basic sins that occur whenever any sin occurs, and even in application to the pastor and the people. One is pride. Pride, human pride. We may call it arrogance. We may call it conceit, hubris. There is human pride, whatever we want to call it. Human pride gets in the way. And that pride is extremely strong and stubborn. Human pride is extremely strong and stubborn. Human pride. Next is deceit. Deceit, deception, lies, falsehoods, untruths, slanders, whatever we might want to call it. The second is deceit. Deceit originates in the devil, Genesis chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It originates in the devil. Any deceit originates in the devil and passes through the world and our flesh. And then it manifests itself. Deceit. It causes slander, slander for division. It causes conspiracy. It causes scheming. It causes plotting. It causes numerous egregious sins. Deceit is not to be taken lightly. Nobody should ever take deceit, lies, slander lightly. It is extremely evil and originates in Satan. Whoever is deceiving another is acting the part of the son of the devil, who is full of all deceit and fraud. Next is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, another common foundational basic sin in relation to any sin and even our subject. Hypocrisy, putting on a show of religion, having the form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such as these, the scripture says. There is hypocrisy, having some religion in them, but really they don't believe it. It's not in their heart. And they put on a facade. They put on a veneer. It's on the surface. It's surface level. It does not really originate from their heart because they don't have true conviction of what they're doing or what they're saying. It is hypocrisy. We might call it different things. We might call it Pharisaicalism. We might call it putting on a show. We might call it acting. Whatever we might call it, it is, biblically speaking, hypocrisy. And all hypocrites, all by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, they pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Hypocrites go to the lake of fire. Matthew 23, Jesus relegated the Pharisees to hell, and he taunted them. He taunted them. Whatever silly and stupid satanic notions people have of, you're too harsh. No, you are a wimp and a sore loser, a crybaby. Hypocrisy leads to hell, and people need to know it. straight to their face, whether publicly or privately. Next, fourth is human wisdom. Human wisdom. Whenever decisions are made, whenever there is a dilemma, whenever there is division, whenever there are people in conflict, when there is strife, conflict, divisiveness, it will usually be the case that at least one, if not both parties, are in conflict and they're spouting, they're vomiting human wisdom to each other. Yes, filthy vomit. Puke, barf. We're not going to call it throw up. Throw up is a euphemism. It's vomit. It's disgusting. It's vomit. Human wisdom is vomit. It's excrement. That's what it is. Human wisdom. And human wisdom is manifested when people are saying, well, I think, well, Scripture says, and then they wrangle also. They wrangle. They double talk, wrangle, however you want to describe it, with their gibberish, with their stupidities, their human wisdom. That's what they present. They don't present Scripture carefully and accurately interpreted. They do not present it that way. This is consistent. It started with Satan in Genesis 3. They do not present Scripture carefully and accurately. Their interpretation of Scripture is warped, it's distorted, it's twisted, it's mangled. They should use God's wisdom from Scripture. And if they won't present God's wisdom, then don't listen to them. And they need to be shut down. We need to say, stop talking. You're blabbering. Yes, your blabber is so tall, taller than Mount Everest and taller than the Tower of Babel, where men were seeking their own glory by their own ideas, by their own wisdom. The Tower of Babel. Utterly shameful to present, to have the audacity to present human wisdom. Number five, cowardice. Cowardice. We might call these people weasels. We might call them chicken. You know how children in school will call each other when they don't have bravery? They say, you're a chicken. You're a chicken. They are chickens. They are cowards. They are cowards, and they show their cowardice by weaselly behavior, by sneaky behavior, by devious behavior, by scheming, by plotting. They don't have courage. They do not have bravery. They do not have what it takes to stand up and speak up and say what is necessary. Why? Because of the next. Because they're stupid. Stupidity. Cowards are stupid people. They are idiots. They are dummies. Ignoramuses, morons. Because the moment they begin to speak and they begin to be refuted, they don't know what to say, and then they will give some agreement, but not really believe in what they say they agreed to by the end of the conversation or debate. They are stupid people. Nobody should listen to an ignorant person. Are you going to go to an ignorant doctor? Are you going to go to an ignorant car mechanic? But why is it that we tolerate and put up with people who are stupid? You go to an ignorant politician, an ignorant lawyer, an ignorant builder of a house, stupid builder of a house? No, if you were smart, you would not go and consult a stupid man. But these people are stupid. But they think they are geniuses. You see, this is the problem. And back to human pride. They think they are brilliant. They think they are geniuses. They think they have it figured out. But actually, they are utterly idiotic people. They have no brains. All they know is their godless passions, their godless desires. That's all they know. They are like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed. That's what they are. They are brain dead, airheads, whatever you want to call them. They are stupid people. Don't follow stupid people. In life generally, but especially for your own souls, do not follow stupid people. Then, what does the scripture say? We're going to read some passages, and I will make very little comments because I hope to finish this hour with this subject. The first one is found in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. We read the chapter starting at verse 1. Numbers 16, verse 1. When there is a righteous pastor, a righteous leader, a godly man, we're going to see how the wicked people respond to that godly man. Number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action. And they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. And they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard this, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself, even the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself. Do this. Take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put fire in them, and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near, Korah, and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him?" Then Moses sent a summons to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you would also lord it over us? Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not regard their offering. I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done harm to any of them." And Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. And each of you take his fire pan and put incense on it. And each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan." And they each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it. And they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. But they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the congregation, saying, Get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, Depart now from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing that belongs to them, lest you be swept away in all their sin. So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. If these men die the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. Then it came about, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, The earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Say to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he shall take up the censers out of the midst of the blaze, for they are holy, and you scatter the burning coals abroad. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, since they did present them before the Lord, and they are holy, and they shall be for a sign to the sons of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which the men who were burned had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his company, just as the Lord had spoken to him through Moses. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people. It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Then they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, Take your censer and put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken, and ran into the midst of the assembly, for behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people, and he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. 1 Samuel 12:1-5. 1 Samuel 12, verse 1. Then Samuel said to all Israel, Behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. And now, here is the king walking before you, but I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my youth even to this day. Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed one, whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not defrauded us, or oppressed us, or taken anything from any man's hand. And he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed one is witness this day, that you have found nothing in my hand. And they said, he is witness. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Jeremiah 15, 10. Woe to me, my mother, that you have borne me as a man of strife and a man of contention to all the land. I have neither lent nor have men lent money to me. Yet everyone curses me. The Lord said, surely I will set you free for purposes of good. Surely I will cause the enemy to make supplication to you in a time of disaster and a time of distress. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, 18 to 23. Jeremiah 18, 18. Then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. Surely the law is not going to be lost to the priest, nor counsel to the sage, nor the divine word to the prophet. Come on, and let us strike at him with our tongue, and let us give no heed to any of his words. Do give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to what my opponents are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? For they have dug a pit for me. Remember how I stood before you to speak good on their behalf, so as to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore, give their children over to famine, and deliver them up to the power of the sword, and let their wives become childless and widowed, and let their men also be smitten to death, their young men struck down by the sword in battle. May an outcry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring raiders upon them, for they have dug a pit to capture me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet you, O Lord, know all their deadly designs against me. Do not forgive their iniquity or blot out their sin from your sight. But may they be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of fear, so he feared me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. In verse 3, the Lord is the speaker, and the Lord says, "Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, your descendants, your children. I am going to rebuke your children." Do we want that to happen? Do we really love our children? If we persist in sin, God will rebuke your children. He'll destroy your children. Further, "I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it." During a festival, animals are killed. They are killed, they're slaughtered, they are butchered, then they are prepared to eat. But we don't eat every part of the animal. Some parts of the inward parts of the animal we do not eat. And there are some parts within the animal, like what? Like the animal's excrement and the animal's urine. The animal's excrement and the animal's urine. For children, number one and number two. Inside the animal are still there when the rancher kills or slaughters the animal. God's saying here, "I'm going to take all those parts within the animal that nobody eats. And I'm going to make sure that I smear it, splash it, throw it on your faces." So much for God is harsh. God is too harsh. Anybody who says that should be ashamed. Don't listen to anybody who says that. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark 10, 35 to 45. Mark 10, 35. "And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, that is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant toward James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, 'You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, 17. Acts 20, verses 17 to 38. Chapter 20, verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they were accompanying him to the ship. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. That power of God is by two instruments or agents, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not the wisdom of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll start at 2 Corinthians 11 at verse 27. 11:27. At the beginning of the paragraph, he explains many of his afflictions, many of his persecutions. Then in 27, we pick it up in the middle of these physical afflictions. 27-33. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. The Apostle Paul says in verse 29, who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? In addition to his many afflictions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 12. 2 verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 12. 5:12-22. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, Be patient with all. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. 13:17 to 19. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. First Corinthians 16:22 is our prayer. Let's bow. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. These scriptures apply to any and every one of you. To any and every one of you. And before we proceed into our worship service, and especially at the Lord's table, there must be repentance and confession of sin. Repentance and confession of sin. Amen.